Christ, we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we come now before you. Father, we ask that you would give us ears to help us hear what you would say to us this morning. Father, give us hearts to believe. Father, give us feet that are ready to obedient and do your will. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I wonder this morning, have you ever used or heard a phrase like this? Well, I can't be in two places at once. Or simply, I can't be everywhere. I think it'd be fair to say that most of us at some stage probably have. Sometimes we might use it as an excuse. Oh, look, I'm sorry. I can't do that, I've got to be somewhere else. Well, I can't be in two places at once. But I wonder how many times it comes from the busyness of our lives. When in complete exasperation and at wit's end, we cry out, and it's mostly to ourselves, I can't be everywhere. But still, we try. We juggle things about, move them around our calendar or time schedule, because we want to do everything and be everywhere at once. But we can't. We can't. But yet we keep on flogging ourselves, trying. But where does it get us? Nowhere. We end up emotionally and physically exhausted, a bundle of complete misery. Now, I wonder this morning, have you ever felt like that? I know I have. I have. The Bible writes of our pain and grief and sleepless nights and our anxiety and our business, and it says, all is meaningless, like chasing the wind. We can't do everything. And we can't be everywhere at once. But do you know what? God can. This is the realm, the domain of God alone. God is omnipresent. And we need to learn to rest in the presence of God. But what does that mean for us this morning? We as human beings think along the lines of time and space. It's what we see and know. God is non-spatial. God is pure spirit. When we think of God, we tend to confine him to the conceptions of our own time and space. We don't take into account that before creation, there was only God. The very first of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means that everything we see and know in the universe, not only that, but also what we know of heaven and the angels, were all created. Before Genesis 1:1, what was there? There was only God. There was no space, no matter, only God. Now the thought of that blows my mind. How can we comprehend that? I can say it and believe it as a fact, but I can't comprehend it because my mind is limited. It is finite. I cannot comprehend that which isn't finite. My God, my mind can understand that which is physical, that which I can know by my senses, but it cannot grasp the fathomlessness of God. Now when we look at the word omnipresent, the word omni comes from Latin and it means all. With the word present simply added to it. Quite literally, God is all present. Or better, God is everywhere present. God's omnipresence is a result of the attributes of God's nature, that is infinite, that is imminent, that is transcendent. God's omnipresence is a result of God creating the universe. This might seem a bit of a stretch to your mind, but God can only be present where there is something to be present to. God is everywhere present only because of creation. There is something to be present to. Before creation, there was only God, and God is spirit, and he is one. Let me put this to you another way. We can only be present at Gibby Baptist Church this morning because this building exists. If I was to do a roll call this morning and call out your name, you put your hand up and you say here or present because you are. But if this building didn't exist, then we couldn't be present here this morning. Now this is an imperfect illustration of the perfect presence of God, but it should be enough for us to see that God is only present where there is something to be present to. God's omnipresence results from his affinity or relation to his own creation. He is everywhere present. That God is omnipresent means that as to his being, he is infinite. His being has no limits. God is not made or limited in any way. God is pure existence. When God created the universe, he brought into existence something new. God habitated the universe within his own presence. Hebrews 11 tells us what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Thomas Aquinas writes, the very fact that he gives being to the things that fill every place, God himself fills every place. Now this does not mean that God is in everything. He's not in this pulpit. It's just wood. This does not mean that there is a physical presence. God is spirit. But God is present throughout all creation. Like there is joy in a smile or emotion in music. Or like there is thought within a poem. Or like the mind is within the brain. You can't see these things. By our experience, we know that this is the case. We know that it is true. And as believers, we might know the special presence of God. We might not have seen anything, but we know that God was there. That we've been held and uplifted in ways that we know are not of ourselves. Like when you've been gravely ill and in hospital. When you have suffered great loss. When you have been in grave danger, you have known that God was with you. God's omnipresence is his relation to all creation. Genesis 1 verse 2 tells us of the unformed world, and that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God was present. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Now, I naturally think of that in a confined way. I think of it like as if God was a helicopter hovering in one spot. But that's not the case. When we come to the second day of creation, God separates the water. God places the sky between the ocean and the atmosphere, and God's spirit is still hovering over those waters like a mother hen covering its chicks in the safety of her wings. God's presence was very real, engulfing and containing all. Let this meet us where we are this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, having believed, you are marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That is God's omnipresence literally meeting us where we are here this morning. We take for granted and forget, or sometimes we do not even realize the fact that God dwells within every believer. That means not just us who are here this morning, or those who are meeting in other churches in Gympie, but but those who live throughout the entire world. And with that in mind, there is potentially up to 130 million believers in China alone at this point in time. So what does this tell us about God? It tells us that God is equally and personally with us and working for us here this morning at Gympie Baptist, as he is for those 130 million believers in China, all equally and personally, and all at the same instantaneous moment. Right at this very point of God, right at this very point in time, God is upholding and supporting and sanctifying and loving and helping and protecting and keeping the hundreds of millions of believers throughout the world, all equally and personally, and according to our own individual circumstances. Solomon prayed, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. Jeremiah writes for us, can anyone hide in secret places so I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? We see visions of heaven throughout the Bible, but even the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain God. Have you ever gone out for a drive into the country at night? And you've looked up into the night sky, there's no streetlights there. As you look up into the blackness, it seems endless. The stars shining bright. Just goes endlessly on. Now think, that is not large enough to contain God. God surrounds and fills it as if it were nothing. This is true of God. God is always with us. So our first point this morning is this. Understanding God's omnipresence brings peace and rest to our weariness in the world, because we know that God is always there. No matter where we are, he is always with us. Therefore, in life's turmoil, God says to each of us, be still and know that I am God. God is omnipresent. He is always with you. God's omnipresence means that you're never alone when you fight life's battles. In the book of Esther, we find the wicked man Haman sought to have the Jewish people exterminated from throughout the entire Babylonian Empire. Now this might seem a bit distant and far away for us to grasp, but take a little closer look at history. Hitler and Nazi Germany, and the 6 million Jewish people that were murdered throughout Europe. You get the picture of what Haman was going to do. Haman even had the king set a date when this extermination was to happen. But God thwarted Haman's plans by raising up Esther and Mordecai. So when the day came for the Jewish people scattered throughout the Babylonian Empire, and keep in mind, the Babylonian Empire covered some 30 million square kilometers. Well, the Jewish people had been warned and were prepared to meet the enemies of battle. And God gave them everywhere an exceeding victory. God was with them equally from one area to the next. No matter how outnumbered they might have been, what had been an impossible, hopeless situation for the Jewish people was dwarfed into insignificance by the infinity of God's omnipresence. He gave them victory everywhere. Where his people were, there God was, going before, upholding, strengthening, fighting on their behalf, on behalf of the people who were called by his name. The Lord is the great God, the King of all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. Bible often gives God human characteristics that we might better comprehend him. Imagine then the hands of God and the world, a speck of dust in them. How small and insignificant is the whole universe compared to God's infinite and mighty presence. What then does this mean for us? It means that God is everywhere present and powerful and in control, and he sees our troubles and our hurts and is more than able to overcome and protect and save from danger, toil and snare. Why do we worry? Why are we troubled? Why are we anxious? Why are we scared and stressed and perplexed at the things of this world and the things of the future that might or might not happen? God is everywhere present. So our second point this morning is this. God's omnipresence brings peace and rest to those who believe, because God is always with us and is powerful and able to overcome every situation. The psalmist writes, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is an ever-present help in times of trouble." Psalm 139 we read, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." The psalmist here recognizes the omnipresence of God. Where can I flee from your presence? He speaks. The simple answer is nowhere. If I were to get into a spaceship, travel a million miles into space, God would be there. If I were to travel to the depths of the Mariana Trench, that's the deepest part of the ocean, guess what? God would still be there. The psalmist understood this. Listen to his words. "Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." So what does this say to us? It says that no matter where I am, what situation I am in, God is there. And he will guide me and help me. If I want God to help me and guide me, then I must pray. It doesn't matter where I am, God is always there. He is always present. Because he is always present, he always is listening to hear your prayers. My prayers. We see this illustrated for us this morning in the book of Jonah. God tells Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." What does Jonah do? He tries to run away from God. Now Jonah obviously hadn't read Psalm 139 because he runs away. He travels to Joppa, and there he gets on a ship that is traveling to Tarshish. You know how far away from Nineveh that is? Let me tell you. 4,023 kilometers away. Now we don't know exactly how far that ship had sailed, but we do know that God sent a storm, and it instantly became calm. And then a great fish came and swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And what do we read? Jonah prayed from the belly of that great fish, and the Lord heard him and commanded the fish to vomit Jonah to dry land. God is with Jonah, even in the belly of the fish. And when Jonah prayed, God heard him, because he was there with him. And if God is with and heard Jonah, even in the belly of the fish, then it stands for us, no matter where we are, no matter how precarious our position and our place, God is with us, and he hears our prayers. Even if the millions of believers throughout the world at this moment were all in precarious situations, God would still be with each one equally and personally, hearing our prayers and guiding us through our individual situation. God is omnipresent. That means that there is nowhere that we can go that God is not present and listening to your prayers. Theophilus writes, the highest and almighty and the living God, is not only to be everywhere present, but also to see all things, to hear all things. He is by no means to be confined in place, for if he were, the place containing him would be greater than he. God is not contained, but himself is the place of all. So our third point this morning is this. God's omnipresence means rest for the weary. Because all God is always there to hear us when we pray. It doesn't matter if we're in the furthest of outer space or the depth of the ocean. God hears us, and he answers, and he guides, and he holds us fast in his mighty arms. Because he is always present. Sometimes we think of God as being far off, looking down on us as if from the clouds of heaven. But this is not the case, because God is everywhere present. There is nothing that God doesn't see, because God is always right there with you. In 2 Kings, King Ahaz cries out to God amid tears, and God says to him, I have seen your tears. And he sees my tears and your tears. Psalm 58 we read, the God of all comfort keeps watch over your weeping. He gathers up all your tears and puts them in his bottle. If we are always in God's sight, then we know that we are always in God's care. Matthew's gospel tells us that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the Lord knowing. Now God's omniscience, that is, that God knows everything, goes hand in hand with his omnipresence. That God knows everything is not a cold, hard, intellectual knowledge, but it is warm and loving and caring, because God is always present with us. He sees us in all the moments and situations of our lives, our joy, our sorrow, our pain, our grief. He knows before it even happens, but he upholds and cares and sympathizes, because he is also with us and witnesses us in all our moments. The God is present and sees our troubles and toils and tears. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. God sees our rushing, our trying to be everywhere and do everything, and he says to us, know me, trust me, rest in me. I can see all this trouble you are bringing upon yourself, but you must stop. We are too often like Martha, worrying and rushing about. We must learn to be more like Mary and sit and rest in the presence of God. God is everywhere present, and he sees our cares, and everything was within his power. Jesus said to Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen that which is better, and it will not be taken from her. Our fourth point this morning is this. God's omnipresence means rest for the weary, because God sees us in our need. He sees our tears, and he says, come. Rest in me. The world's burden is heavy, but my yoke is easy and light, and I am gentle and humble. Lay your burden aside and rest in God's care. So far this morning, we've seen that God's omnipresence relates as to his being. That God is pure, radiant spirit, that he is ethereal, he is infinite, and the creator of all that is finite, that is everything outside of himself. This means for us that God is able and working in every situation of all our lives instantaneously, at every moment, individually and personally. It means that God is ever present to hear our prayers, that he sees us in all our moments, through all our time. God's omnipresence mean rest for us in our weariness in the world, Because although we are unable to be everywhere and to do everything, God is and He does. We just need to realize that we can't, but God can. Learn to trust and rest in Him. God's omnipresence means that God is everywhere present for us. And there's a relational presence, for God is our Creator and God is love. Jesus said to Nicodemus that God so loved the world. And we often think of this from our own limited perspective. We know intellectually that it means all people. But by our own limited and finite perspective, it clouds our view. It dims our vision. When Jesus said, for God so loved the world, He saw from the perspective of God. He could see all the multitudes of man throughout all the millennia of man's existence, and He loved all the world before its creation. Is it any wonder that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church and told them to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? God's omnipresence means that His love reaches infinitely in every possible direction. And it gracefully breaches time and space and transcends into eternity. Are you weary this morning? Then look upon Jesus on the cross and see love. Love that is infinite. Love that knows no bounds. Love that hears our cries and sees our tears and acts in love for the glory of God. Love that is ever-present and real. Our fifth and final point this morning is this. God's omnipresence means rest for the weary, because God is everywhere present, and God is love. God's love is always with you. As we come to a close, I can honestly say, preparing this message has transformed my own personal quiet times. As I've sat in the dark before the sunrise and spent serious time in prayerful contemplation on the omnipresence of God, asking God questions and listening and waiting patiently till God would answer. That time in the presence of God has then carried on to my everyday. So you try to be everywhere and do everything. And are you tired and weary in this world? Let me say to you, don't be lazy with God. Life is too busy and hard. You must go daily to that refreshing fountain of strength that is our God. Stop being lazy with God. Spend real time in His presence. God says to us in our business, be still and know that I am God. And when you do, you'll find real answers. Then you'll find right perspective. Then you'll find joy and peace of mind. And the presence of God will overflow into your everyday. And you'll know that God is right there with you, that you're not alone. When we spend time in God's presence and really know God's presence, then we'll be able to say with the psalmist, where can I go that you are not? No matter where I am, you're always with me to guide me and uphold me in your hands. O Lord my God, you are always with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into the busyness of our week ahead, Father, teach us the discipline of being still and knowing that you are God. Father, we thank you that you are always present. Father, through our hardships, through our joy, we know that you're always there with us. Father, help us to always realize this. Help us to remember to live our lives worthy of the calling that you have made on us. Worthy, knowing that you are always with us. We ask and pray these things now in Jesus' name.